going to be one-sided, and I have the opportunity of interviewing Rabbi Alon Anava, my favorite guest.
Good morning.
And so just a little bit about Alon. And so Alon had a near-death experience, the most profound death experience. And I've done a lot of research. I've done a lot of reading. And even from my own professional capacity, I've experienced people who've had near-death experiences. However, I've never come across a near-death experience like Alon's, where if you go to his website, www.alonanava.com, you will be able to watch a one-hour presentation or two-hour presentation. And Alon did mention that he's working on a kind of a documentary, which gives much more juicy details. So I really urge you to go there and to watch it and to listen and to learn from it. And then from Alon's experiences, people have so many questions. So in my shows subsequently, we are answering a lot of the questions that are coming from the listeners. So Alon does an amazing amount of outreach, and I always say to him, I don't know when you sleep, and that you are kind of on God-driven petrol, and that you just take every single opportunity to share your experience, to live as a Jew. And there was a third thing, that when you were in Shemayim, that you kind of had to sign on the dotted line for. It was for to live as a Jew, to share your story, and to say sorry for everything that you had done up until now. And so it's an absolutely breathtaking experience, and do yourself a favor and go and have a look on YouTube, also on SoundCloud. If those of you that have got that app, to go and listen, it really, really is worthwhile. It will change your life. Every single person that I've recommended, that have listened, that have gone there, it has changed their life. So we're looking at life-changing events. And so in Alon's outreach, he shares his experience, and he tours, and he goes wherever the opportunities are. And Baruch Hashem, Hashem has given you many, many opportunities to guiding your every single footstep to do exactly that. And I have done a few shows with Alon, and I'm being very, very greedy to try and squeeze in as many pre-records as possible, because I'm in a transition phase at the moment. I'm making Aliyah, and I'm going to be broadcasting from Israel to South Africa, and I'm going to continue my show. And please God that Alon is going to be a big part of that, whatever time he can spare. So this morning, Alon came up with one of the questions that, and he gets thousands of questions from listeners, from people that are just struggling in this world. So the one question that we're going to have a look at, and please God, we'll have time for another question, is this person is asking, I want to know about relationships. What is their purpose? I tend to isolate and avoid people, and that have a lot of toxicity that seems to come from the people that I attract. And I also feel that people are kind of condescending towards me and insult me. So they're probably wrapped up in here a lot of questions about this person's self-esteem. But Alon, you know how to sift through the chaff from the good stuff. So Alon, over to you.
So good morning. It's always a pleasure being on the show again. So, since the topic we want to talk about is so long, I will get right to it. And really, I get a lot of questions from many different listeners and viewers and followers. And one question that I get a lot, very often, that's what we want to talk about now, is not necessarily how you read it right now, but the question, but in general, the topic about relationships. Why do we have relationships? What's so significant and important about relationships? Unfortunately, many people experience half of the relationships in their life are bad relationships, whether it's parents, whether it is with their kids, with coworkers, with friends, with family, neighbors. Unfortunately, almost every person in the world is dealing with bad relationships that one might say, why do I need this headache? Why do I have to deal with this? So, unfortunately, many people run into these questions. And in one way, a lot of people say, I don't want to deal with it. I would rather just move out of the relationship. Now, some relationships you can end very fast, whether it's a neighbor or a coworker or somebody that you don't really have to deal with. But a lot of the relationships that are bad that we have to deal with are families and can be sometimes parents, and it can be kids or a husband or wife. But even the relationships that are, so to say, easy to pull out from, they're also there for a purpose. So the reality is that Hashem made a very big world, but as big as it is, it's a very small world, and we always seem like we're always on top of each other. And many people would wish to live on a deserted island, or to decide by themselves who they need to deal with. So one of the main problems with how people deal with relationships is they don't understand that the problem is coming from them. And they blame most of the problem on the other side. So today I first want to talk about where the problem originates, because if we want to find a solution, first we got to go to the root. We got to go to where it starts and where the problem starts. Then it's much easier to find the solution. So I just want to give a very short intro about the topic in general. And we know that all the problems that we have in this world, physical and spiritual, they all go back 5,776 years ago when the world was created. And when the world was created, it was created perfect. And on the 6 days of creation, Hashem created a man, Adam. And originally, he created him one. It was one body. And our mystical scripts explain to us that Adam was created in a form that the front was the male part and the back was the female part, Eve. In Hebrew, her name is Chava. Originally, how she was created, her name was Chaya, not Chava. Later on, after she sinned, her name was changed to Chava. And everything that we have to deal with in this world goes back to the point that these two individuals sinned. They brought down the sin to the world, and since then, they changed the world. And up until today, we're working to fix it. Obviously, it was one big, major plan. Nothing happens by chance in this world. But it starts that first, Adam was created as one body. And then the story says that Adam was a very intelligent and high-level soul. And Hashem, God, brought all the creatures in front of him so he can name them. And Adam saw with his spirituality, his high level, the godly power that enlivens that animal. And he was able to name them according to the power that he sees in it. So he would brought a lion in front of him, so he would name it, this is Aryeh. He saw the godly energy that enlivens it. So at some point, Adam got very upset because he was like, wait a minute, all the animals that you bring in front of me, they all have a mate. They have another one. How come I don't have another one? And in Hebrew, for example, most of the animals, the female has one name and the male has a different name. For example, a lion. My English is not that good. I don't know how, maybe there are names like that in English, but in Hebrew, a lion is Aryeh, but a female lion is Leviya. And wow. almost any animal has the male name to it and the female name to it. So Adam, he was like, how come I don't have a helpmate? How come I don't have a bazug, you know, a wife? So Hashem says, "Lo tova la'adam liot levado." It's not good for a person to be by himself. Evra lo ezer kenegdo. I will create for him a helpmate that is going to be, you know, separate from him. And then he created Eve, that we know her name in the Torah. The Torah calls her Chava, even though her original name, like I said, was Chaya. It says in the Torah she was Em Kol Chai, the mother of everything that all life form. Now then we know there was the sin. Now right before the sin, it says in the Torah, in the Bible very clearly, that Hashem told Adam and Eve, he put them in Gan Eden, in heaven, which was a place on this world, and he told them, you can eat from all the trees in this garden, but these two trees, and he pointed two trees, the tree of knowledge and the tree of life, Etz Hadaat ve'Etz HaChaim, and he told them, these trees, don't touch them. And sure enough, with the curiosity and the help of the snake, which the snake, you know, you gotta understand, the snake was not this little spaghetti crawling on the floor in heaven. The snake is the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, the devil, that you know, when Hashem created the world, God creates everything with an equal side. Everything in this world has the holy side and the unholy side. And we call it the thing that opposes it. So anything that's going to be in the holy realm, this has to be in the unholy realm, because it has to be equal. So with the good, Hashem also created the bad, but Hashem made the bad subdue. It was very subdued to the good. So the first commandment was, please don't eat from these two trees, the tree of knowledge and the tree of life. If you eat from the tree of knowledge, your eyes will open up, that's how the Torah says, and then you will be smart like a god. And the tree of life, if you eat from that, you'll never die. So, of course, we know that the snake came and he convinced Eve, Chava, he convinced her and she sinned, she ate from the fruit, she gave Adam to eat from the fruit, and then the story all starts. Now, right after that, Hashem says, okay, now I saw that you sin, I got to throw you out, I got to kick you out of heaven, because then there's an option, you're going to eat from the other tree. Now, we know that originally Adam HaRishon, Adam, was created, he's one soul. All the souls of all the people around the world, Jews and non-Jews, are all pieces from the soul of Adam. The Jews are pieces from the head of Adam, and the non-Jews are pieces from all the body of Adam. But all the souls of all the nations are also part of this big soul. Now, once Adam sinned, then Adam, our sources say that Adam was, besides a human being in this world, but he was a pillar of light. He was this unbelievable, huge soul. And when he sinned, he went down from his level. And part of going down from his level, Hashem created for him a body. But we know that the soul, who was compared to this huge light, it kind of exploded. And it exploded to thousands and thousands and thousands of sparks, of godly sparks. And these are all the souls of all the people in the world, these sparks. So each and every one of us is a spark of a soul. Now we know it was exploded to 600,000 souls, and each one of us is like branches and branches and branches from one soul from the 600,000. But originally, we were all one big soul. Because of the sin caused what's called a separation. Up until then, we had unity, and the sin caused a separation, and we know. The great Mekubalim, they explained to us that when we do mitzvot, and when we do all sorts of acts that the Torah commands us to do, we are causing unity in the world above. This is called Yichud. So, the ultimate reason why we got so many mitzvot, not the ultimate reason, but one of the main reasons why we got mitzvot is to bring back this unity, to glue back all these pieces together. The problem is, that when sin, God came down to this world, all the godly things, all the positive things, they got covered and captured by an evil force, by a negative energy that is called klipa. Klipa in Hebrew is a shell. Like you have a fruit, it has a peel. So the peel of the fruit is not edible. Take an orange, for example. The peel is just protecting the fruit. It's covering the fruit, but the peel itself is not edible. It's actually disgusting and bitter. So all these sparks, they got covered with this klipa, with this shell, which is a negative energy. It's like some type of an energy that is fed by evil force, a dark force. So kind of to say it in a metaphorical way, it's the darkness hovering over the light. And that causes a separation that makes me and you and everybody else feel that we're something separated from another entity. So, which boils down to our terminology as ego. So, we feel a separation, first of all, from our Creator. We don't feel that we are connected to a Creator. Most of us don't even feel that there is a Creator. We are such a low level. This klipa, this energy that is surrounding us is so thick. And to add on that, the coarseness of the body, we don't even feel that there is something that is creating us. The reality is that we are so annulled to the godly power that if for one second Hashem would pull out His life force out of us, we're going to fall on the floor right on the spot and die. And that life force is our soul. We just don't feel it. But in our body, there's a soul, a godly life force. This soul is built from a few components, and it's broken into five levels. The main part of the soul is a piece of God. It's not even us. That's why we say, you see in the prayers, we say, Hashem, neshama shenatata bi tehorai. It says, neshama shenatata bi, the soul that you gave in me is pure. Which means that it's not even my soul. It's not even the me. And this godly power, this godly energy is the life force of this body. The thing is that we are so disconnected from this life force that we feel that we are an entity. We feel that we are something that is separated, first of all, from our Creator. Unfortunately, most people don't even feel that there is a Creator. More than that, we feel how we are separated from each other. And that manifests into our body with all sorts of character traits that are fed by this klipa. This klipa is the shell, which can be translated and explained in our terminology as ego. The Kabbalistic terminology, it's called haratzon lekabel, the will of taking, the desire of taking, the desire of receiving. Because almost everything that drives us in this world is the desire to gain pleasure out of something. Because most people, they don't run after anything that doesn't give them pleasure. We run after things that give us pleasure. We go to work because we want to make money so I can buy myself a nice car and new clothes and enjoy restaurants and go on a vacation, etc., etc. So I'm willing to suffer 8 hours a day because it will gain me pleasure. I can satisfy my physical pleasures. I can buy good food and I can buy nice clothes and etc., etc. I will run after anything that will bring me pleasure. This is our natural inclination. We don't run after anything that doesn't bring us pleasure. This is this desire to constantly satisfy myself. And this power is coming from this klipa, from this ego, from this power that just wants to feed itself. Only because it feels that it's separated from its source. Now, we don't analyze it in that way. We don't go in our mind, oh, I'm separated from my source, which is God, therefore I'm going to feed myself with physical pleasures. It's done blindly. We don't really know what drives us. The reality is that most of us, most of our acts are ego-driven. So I want to satisfy myself. I want to make myself happy. I want to make myself feel good. And even though it doesn't mean that a person is bad, if that is what's driving him, I'm not chas v'shalom, saying that we are bad people. We can be the best people in the world, but our main motivation in most cases, what drives us, is our own self gratification. And you can be the most sweetest, kind person in the world, and have a lot of emotion of giving, but we still have also constantly the emotion of receiving. So being that said, this is, you know, a very short interview, a short intro about a very broad topic. But the point to understand is that the reason why we feel so separated is because we're covered from this energy that first of all makes us feel that we're separate. Now what happens is that as long as I my emotion is constantly driven in emotion of taking and not giving, then constantly I'll be clashing with anything that's standing in front of me. So the problem with most relationships is that the people who are running into these bad relationships are constantly in a motion of taking. And it's not necessarily means that they're in the motion of taking from that specific relationship.
It's part of their nature.
Yeah, it's just if my nature is to constantly be taking and receiving, and where can I get out of here and where can I get out of there, mm-hmm. and how do I satisfy myself and how do I make myself feel better, etc., etc., it will manifest that when I come to deal with other people, since my nature is to have a motion of taking, then once I meet another person, I will be acting according to this nature. It doesn't mean that I'm coming into a relationship and I'm in the motion of taking from that specific relationship. It doesn't necessarily have to be like that. It's just our nature. So in general, if one will be constantly on the motion of giving, then he'll never have any problems with relationships. Because he's not going to judge the relationship. He's not going to have expectation from a relationship. More than that, you know, the Baal Shem Tov, who was an amazing sage about 300 years ago, taught us something amazing. He came with all the Hasidic teaching with unbelievable insights for everything. And he says that anything that you see bad in somebody else means that you have it in you. So it might not necessarily be in a very revealed way or something that is very obvious, but if I see something bad in somebody, it means that I have it. Mm-hmm. Even in a very refined way, that I'm able to see it in somebody else. And if I wouldn't have it in me, I would never even see it. I wouldn't even notice. You know, sometimes you meet a person and he says, oh, that person X, is so mean. You know, and the second person will be like, mean? He's like the nicest person in the world. I don't even know what you're talking about. So we tend to see in people bad and good things that we have in us. Mm-hmm. So, excuse me. So the whole point to understand here is that if I want to be, you know, coexisting, let's just say, with everybody in my surrounding, first, I have to do a lot of internal work to see what's wrong with me. Because if I judge somebody wrong, it means that I have it in me. I have some type of emotion in me that I'm not willing to accept anything else. Now, I know a lot of eyebrows are probably going to be raised now by me saying that, you know, we first have to look in ourselves, because most people say, me? Nothing's wrong with me. It's them. They're the ones who are not accepting my way. They're the ones who's constantly driving me crazy. They're talking bad about me. They're doing bad things to me. Yeah, that's not the point right now. The point is, first of all, each and every one of us has to be true to themselves. And we talked, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago in one of the shows, about the bad character trait of lying constantly. And I said that a lot of people, most of us lie all day long. Yes. And I say that most people, they're not willing to accept that they're lying all day long. But the reality is that we are lying all day long. And the ones that we lie the most to is ourselves. Yes. Now, we can't lie to ourselves and we can't lie to God. But we choose to lie to ourselves all the time. Yes. The point is that one needs to look in the mirror, not necessarily physically, but look into the mirror, look into themselves and says, come on, let's be honest here. And then he can only start working on himself. Now, as long as I have a very thick wall, which is my ego, I'm going to run into problems in any place and any department, let's say, in my life. Because my ego is my biggest obstacle. And that's this separation that was caused in the sin with Adam and Chava, with Adam and Eve. It was created this wall that makes me separated from you. And by that started, you know, Hashem cursed Adam 10 curses, Eve got 10 curses, and the snake got 10 curses. And then Hashem also cursed the land. And because the land was cursed, it moved into the motion of taking. Before that, the land was in the motion of giving. So we saw that within one day...
You're talking about Eretz Yisrael.
No, the entire world. The entire world. I'm talking, when I'm saying land, I mean like the earth, the world itself. Because we see that the first motion of the earth was, it says, V'tadshe deshe. Within 1 second, the entire earth basically brought out of it all the vegetation. And everything came out of the earth. And we see the earth still has a motion of constantly spitting out, which it spits out. Maybe I'm using the wrong terminology, but saying spitting out. But we see that we have, you know, the earth brings out trees and vegetables and vegetation. And in the earth, we have minerals and we have all sorts of very important things that we need. So the earth is, the original state of the earth is to give. But with the curse that Hashem cursed the land, it says, "Varura haaretz me'ata me'ayin eta bata." It says that the land that you came from was going to be cursed. Therefore, you're going to have to work the land. That's where Adam got the curse that he has to, "Bezeat apecha tuchalachem." You're going to have to work for your sustenance. So the land also got cursed that it has now the motion of taking. And we see that a lot of the times, you know, the land has a motion of, you put water in the land, it's not necessarily that the water will get evaporated. The land observes it, the earth. So to make a long story short, because we want to go to other questions. To make a long story short, 90% of the problems with people relationships is that they want to be on the receiving end. And they don't see any problems with anything. Everybody's causing the problems but them. And I know, again, when I say that, a lot of people looking at me like, what are you talking about? I didn't do anything. They're attacking me. They're talking against me. They're mistreating me. And what I mean is that it's not that in the actual relationship, you are the one who's constantly on the taking end. It's just the motion of the person. When the person, his entire life is constantly to be on the receiving and constantly to take, by default, any relationship that he's going to meet, that's going to be the motion. So one needs to, first of all, work on themselves, that we are not that great. You know, I have also a lot of faults. And I'm not the one who's constantly giving and giving and giving. If I constantly, the whole point, what the Torah is trying to teach us, mainly the teachings of Kabbalah, that in order for me to receive something, first I have to give. In order for me to receive anything, whether it's sustenance or something physical, something spiritual, love, affection, anything, I want to receive something, I constantly have to be in the motion of giving. And if I'm in the motion of giving, and giving means it can be anything, can be money, can be attention, can be time, can be love, can be anything, a nice word. So every time that I'm in the motion of giving, I'm creating space that I can be on the receiving end from wherever I need to receive. So by default, this will manifest into relationships, that in a relationship, I can be also in a receiving end and not be judgmental and look at the other side. This is like one part of the problem. The other part of the problem is that many people, they're just not willing to accept the faults of other people. And instead of being on the side of, you know, if Hashem is already showing me this fault in another person, must be that I have to work on myself. It's very easy to blame everybody around me and say it's everybody's fault. The reality is that according to nature, in the physical world, yes, you must be in a you can be in a relationship that the other side is being extremely mean or not fair or not right, and you are right. But in this world, it's not about being right. It's about being smart. Because if we're constantly trying to be right, then we're constantly going to clash. Because we are separated. We're separated from each other. The whole point is to get to the point to understand that ultimately I'm not separated from anyone. And the reasons why we're separated, because we created that separation, and I have to work on it to reverse it. So yes, you might be in relationships that you are the victim, so to say. But it doesn't mean it's their fault, because ultimately everything comes from Hashem. Hashem is putting you in a situation that you are in such a relationship because He wants you to see what's going on and analyze the situation, and then start seeing within you what is those problems that these people are reflecting on you. Because if it's reflecting on you, must be that you have some type of this problem in you. It could be in a very refined way. So another thing one needs to recognize is when I'm running into a bad relationship, it's mainly for me to take a step back and reflect, wait a minute, I must be doing something like that in a very refined way. And sometimes it could be between me and God. Sometimes I will see a person behaving towards me in a certain way, and my ego will tell me, oh, I'm right, I did everything right here, I didn't say anything wrong, it's his fault. No, sometimes Hashem is showing you this scene because he's trying to tell you how that person is behaving with you. That's how you're behaving with me. Me, I mean between me and God. So everything that I see ultimately around me is a reflection that's coming out of me. So the you know, our sages say, "Hevez dan kol adam lekaf zchut." You should judge every person constantly favorably, because A, you don't know what they're going through. B, you don't know how was their day. You don't know how was their life. And Hashem puts you in a situation not to fight it, rather to overcome it and to go above the wave that Hashem is throwing towards you. So the many things one need to look into in bad relationships is A, to understand that we are separated from each other, and that's part of our work in this world, in my life, is to create bridges between one side to another, what doesn't in places that don't reach each other. That's the greatness of what one can achieve here. And yes, sometimes it means that you have to move one step back. Yes, sometimes it means that you have to be the one that, as right as you are, the one that you give up. Because in the in relationships that we don't, that we're not willing to give up, it will never work. And I said it in one of the previous classes, one of the previous interviews, that the difference between adults and kids, you can learn a lot from kids.
Yes.
Because kids, they fight all the time. The only difference between us and kids, kids, they choose to be happy. They don't choose to be right.
Yes.
We choose to be right. So we constantly fight. And I can have a fight. A person will not talk to his brother for 50 years over something little. Because he has to be right. I'm right. Yeah, you are right. But you're not talking to your brother for 50 years. And a kid chooses to be happy. He doesn't care if he's right or not. He just, you know, after 5 minutes, he forgets about the fight and he just wants to be happy. So this is our problem, that we choose constantly to be right. And in this world, you can be right, but it's not about being right. It's about being smart. And we are stuck in relationships, whether we want it or not, whether we like it or not. Our test here is not to be right. Not to be right in the test, is to be smart here. And sometimes you give, sometimes you get, sometimes you have to move. And yes, sometimes relationships are very, very toxic. And that's the time when you need to know when you move out of the relationship. But everything has to be done in a very smart way, without anger, without ego, and to know that everything that Hashem shows me is just for me to refine myself. Must be that in me I have this problem.
Yes, and to work at that.
So now the thing is that there's much more to talk about relationship, but in general, I like looking at it, and many people don't like to agree with me because it hurts their ego. I like looking at it when somebody comes to me and approaches me with a problem in a relationship, I tell them, don't try to solve the other person's problem. Look at your own problems. Don't come with a list. You know, a lot of people come to me, whether it's a husband and wife or parents with kids, and they're telling me a whole list of how the other side is bad. And then I tell them, okay, let's do a list of how bad you are. maybe the problem is lying with you. No, I'm the best. It can't be that you are 100%. And a lot of people don't like it, because when you step on somebody's ego, they don't like it. So they're not willing to listen to you, and then they're not willing to change. But the reality is that first we have to refine ourselves. And if I refine myself, and that's a project, that's not something that takes 3 weeks. That's, refining myself can take me a whole lifetime.
It's a lifetime.
And the whole point is constantly to internalize that if I want to be in the position that I'm receiving, being on the receiving end, it's only if I'm constantly in the motion of giving. If I'm not in the motion of giving, I'll never be on the receiving end. And then constantly will be clashes. Constantly I'm not going to agree with the other side. The other side will always annoy me, will always disagree with me, will always interrupt me. And the thing is that in any argument, the first motion comes a wall that is my ego. How dare you tell me that I did this and that? Who are you to do that to me? But the right emotion is, if I'm going to humble myself, let's say, I, for example, come into some type of an argument with somebody, my first emotion, my first reaction is right away to defend myself. No, it's not true. I didn't do that. You did that. But that's the worst reaction. The best reaction is to take a step back and to say, okay, this individual now claims that I did A like this and like that. Let me see. Maybe he's right. Most people don't step back and say, you know what? Maybe he's right. Now, you could very much be that 50% of the times he's not right. But first, you have to have this motion of moving back and saying, you know what? If he's coming and claiming right now something, maybe he's right. That person also has emotions. That person also has thoughts and feelings. So dealing with another person, you really first have to learn how to deal with yourself. And when you learn how to deal with yourself, slowly you start learning how to deal with other people. And I believe that most of the problems in relationships, they are originated from the fact that's my ego that is being hurt right now. Or it's my comfort zone somebody's entering my comfort zone. It's all about me. And we see in our generation that, you know, everything is about me. You know, we see
iPhone.
Exactly. iPhone and iPad. It's all about me. And the ego in our generation is so inflated that it's out of control. And we're all so ego-centered. You know, even we see that the entire world is, you know, we're communicating through electronics, through social media and text and email. It's I'm sitting on my side of the computer. There's no communication. We lost the human communication between people. We're communicating, sometimes, you know, I make a joke. One time my wife sent me a text and I'm screaming, I'm upstairs. She didn't know I'm home. She didn't know that I'm home. She was just texting me, but I told her I'm upstairs. And she laughed because she was like, how funny is that? You're upstairs and I'm texting you. And the reality is that sometimes you text somebody and they're in another room. They're in a different office. They're not right next to you. The problem in our generation is the ego is out of control. And people don't like hearing it because the ego is being hurt right now. Don't tell me that I have an ego. This is our main problem. This is our main problem in our generation, that the ego, you know, you can, you know, we call it ego. I just call it this klipa, this negative energy, this heavy negative energy that surrounds us because of our thoughts, because of our actions, because of our speech, because of everything, because of our sins. It surrounds us, and this ego is making me not accept anything, and the worst thing, it's making me not accept myself. It's one of the hardest things for a person to say, I was wrong. It's one of the hardest things to look in the mirror and say, you know what, I was wrong. I should go and apologize. I think very few people are in the level that they know when to step back and say, I'm sorry, you are right. And especially when it comes into relationships with a husband and wife and a father and child or mother and child, either way, it's the hardest thing for a person to admit, you know, I was wrong. And that's where we lie to ourselves, because we try to convince ourselves in all sorts of manipulating ways that you are not wrong. But just be honest, just be, yes, you know, I'm wrong, you know, I shouldn't have said that, I shouldn't have acted like that. This is the problem, and every person really wants to solve problems with relationships. First, they really have to work on themselves. And the problem is that, you know, a person will go to a therapist or a marriage counselor or anyone, and that person will tell him, okay, let's first see what's your problems. That person will be like, no, nothing's wrong with me. It's him. He's wrong. She's wrong. She said this. She does that. So when one really wants to deal with relationships, Hashem gave us relationships. To sum the whole topic up, Hashem put us in this position that he gave us relationships that we have to deal with, and half of them are relationships that we don't want to deal with them, is only to refine ourselves. Only to refine ourselves, to be more patient, to be more understanding, to be less angry, to be less judgmental, to be less jealous. All these character traits, they all originate from commandments. You know, it's a sin to be jealous. Not enough. You know, not achmod. These are from the Ten Commandments. Not enough is not to commit adultery. Not achmod is not to desire something that doesn't belong to you. If I'm jealous of somebody, I'm failing in not achmod. Don't desire something that doesn't belong to you. So
and not being who I am.
Exactly.
Because if I'm wanting to be somebody else, I'm not being me, which is a huge obligation.
Yeah.
And so, Lauren, let's do a quick break. I can't believe how the time has flown. And then we can see if we can, in the next 15 minutes, to look at where depression comes from. So let's go to a quick break, and we'll be back right now. Good morning and welcome to the Cabana Show, Body, Mind, and Soul of Emuna, and it's always such a privilege to be speaking to Rabbi Lauren Anava, who had the most incredible near-death experience. He has the most amazing pearls of wisdom to share. And what we're looking at today, it's a pre-record, so unfortunately it's one-sided, but he gets thousands of letters and emails of people trying to sort out their lives and get answers for many things. And so we looked at the question about relationships, and then now in the little bit of time that we have left, we're going to look, where does depression come from?
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you.
So, yes, unfortunately, we see in our generation, I think that 90% of population of the world are depressed.
Yes.
If not 99.
Yes.
And, you know, one of the major questions that I get from many followers and listeners is, you know, why am I so depressed? Why is everything so, you know, not working out? And you know, unfortunately, half this world is medicated.
Yes.
Which is just, you know, the one form of the Yetzer Hara, of the evil inclination, the evil forces of this world to control our minds and mainly our souls. And it's very unfortunate that, I'm not exaggerating, that I'm confident say that half this world is under medications.
Yes.
Because in our generation, the doctors, they don't come up with solutions. No. They just shut things down.
Yes.
You go to a doctor now, instead of giving you a solution, he tells you take this pill.
Yes, yes.
And the pill
like
is just
putting a dummy in the mouth.
Exactly. and this pill is just, you know, numbing the problem. You know, today, a person has a headache. He goes to the medicine cabinet and he takes an Advil or a Motrin, whatever. Instead of dealing with the problem, the body is telling you, hello, something's wrong inside. So your head hurts you. We take a pill. And what the pill does, it just numbs the nerve system. That's what it does. Each pill is a little, you know, one will numb one nerve, the other one will numb a different nerve, but it's numbing the nervous system. And instead of dealing with the problem, if I have a headache, must be that I'm either dehydrated, or I didn't eat, or I didn't sleep, some type of a problem that I caused, and the body is, you know, reacting.
And it's talking to us.
Yeah.
It's actually having a big conversation with us. Do something.
Yeah. So instead of listening, instead of listening to the problem, I take a little pill and I numb it. And unfortunately, this is the problem with depression, because today, nobody, very few people really know how to deal with depression. So they might have beautiful titles on the wall, but when a patient comes to them, okay, you know, you're hyperactive, here, take this pill. Oh, you can't concentrate, take this pill. Because they don't have a solution. They just numb me down. A kid is very hyperactive or ADD or all these terms that they're coming up with now, then they numb it down. If you look 100 years in history, I guarantee to you, you're not going to find all these problems. ADD, HDDD, they didn't have that problem.
No.
So to make a very long story short, because since we're short on time, then, as usual, in order to understand the problem, we have to go to where it originates and to try to hit it from the root. And everything in this world manifests from the world above. Nothing in this world is the original. We are the shadow of the spiritual world. You can say a shadow.
It's really an illusion. That's
yes.
Often what I feel. It's not real.
Not only that it's illusion.
It's perceived.
Mm. Not only that it's illusion, the same way that you walk on the street and the sun is hitting you, the shadow will be on the floor, and wherever you go, the shadow goes with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was interesting, yesterday I drove from a very far lecture, it was a 3.5 hour drive, and my daughter joined me. And she was like, look how amazing, everywhere we drive, the moon is driving with us.
Aww.
She's young.
Yeah.
So she was like, look how amazing, we drove over 200 kilometers, and look, wherever we go, the moon is with us.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you're looking at something in a very large scale, then, you know, something in the space can move. For us, it looks like, you know, 1 inch, 1 millimeter. So everything in this world is really a shadow of the world above. One might say it's a reflection from the world above, because both a shadow and a reflection are distorted from the original.
Yes.
But everything that has, everything that happens in this world is literally a manifestation from the world above. And I have a whole lecture on my website that I did, where does sickness originate from?
Yes,
where does diseases?
Listen to that. It's a three-part lecture. It's outstanding. I recommend listeners go to SoundCloud, listen. It is awesome. Thank you.
So the same idea where I explain that physical sickness and diseases, they originate from the spiritual source, same thing with depression. Depression also originates from the soul. It's not a problem in the body, it's a problem in the soul.
Yes.
It's some type of a deficiency or some type of a lack of something or some type of a disease in the soul that just manifests into our body. Now, I want to separate two things in the problem that causes depression. And when one knows where the problem starts with, then one can actually go to the source and trigger it. So one thing where depression and sickness and diseases come from is our food, is our diet. In our generation, all around the world, 95% of what you eat is poison. It's not garbage, it's poison. Once you poison your body, right away it will penetrate the body and affect the body. One will get affected in a disease. One will affect the mental and emotional. And if we will monitor our diets 100%, a person will be 100% healthy and 100% clear in his mind. And a lot of people say, okay, I understand that if I eat, you know, bad food with a lot of sugar or fat or any other thing that is bad to my body, I can understand that it will actually hurt the body. That I can understand. I'm not willing to change it, but I understand it. But why would it affect the brain? So we know that everything that we put into our mouth eventually comes into our liver and eventually becomes blood. And then the blood starts flowing in our body. That's how it's starting affecting our organs. So anything that I would put poison into my body, and there's different types of poisons, and in our generation, the main poison that we put in our body is all the chemicals that we eat. Whether it's all the GMO, genetically modified food, which half of the food that we eat has GMO in it, or all the chemicals like, you know, food coloring and MSG, preservatives, all these things are 100% poison. Our body doesn't know how to deal with it. And we're literally killing ourselves. People, they don't understand why half the world has cancer and all sorts of other diseases and syndromes. Now, the reality is that once I eat all this poison, and not only the poison that I eat, is how I eat it. That's why the Torah is very particular about our diet, kosher, and there's not only rules in kosher, what I'm allowed and not allowed to eat in kosher, rather is how to eat it, when to eat it, how to mix things together. So it's not only what I eat, it's how I eat it. The same way that it affects my body, it will right away affect my brain. And this is medically proven, that food that gets digested in my large intestines, my small intestines, etc., goes directly to the brain. And it starts making these shortcuts in my brain, what's called chemically imbalanced. So doctors, they find it much easier to give you a pill and says, okay, let's balance your chemicals in your brain.
Yes, yes.
The problem is that the body finds that as a substance. And instead of it, instead of healing itself, because the body is the perfect machine to heal itself.
Absolutely perfect.
Oh, you know that when we have when we have fever, it's the body healing itself.
Yes.
Instead
yes.
of sitting in bed and relaxing and actually giving the body what it needs, which is water and vitamins and minerals and
some love and attention.
Yeah.
And
then we give it all sorts of chemicals.
Yes.
So it's funny because, you know, only on that we can talk for so long. And I see somebody came to me not too long ago and he had a lot of rashes. And I was like, why aren't you taking care of that? And he's like, no, I went to the doctor. He gave me this cream and that cream. I told him, you know, the creams are the worst for the rashes.
Yes.
The rash is poison trying to come out of your body.
Yes.
So it tried to come out of...
It starts in the gut.
Exactly.
Right.
And when you take a chemical and you scrub it over the rash, you're bringing the poison back into the body. Now it's going to come out from a different place. So all these things, at the end of the day, they affect our brain directly. And yes, then our entire chemical imbalance in the brain is off. So one person will become very aggressive. One person will become very hyperactive. One person will become very depressed. So this is, you know, in the physical level, but in the spiritual level, what we do is what we feed our soul. And if my soul is happy, it will manifest into my body in happiness. And when I deprive from my soul what it needs to get, then it will manifest into my body. And a lot of the problems we do, this is already, we can separate it to two groups. One group is the positive things that I do, the positive acts that I do. And to connect it to the Torah, it's the positive mitzvot, the commandments that I do, that I actually bring in godly light into my organs. And we know that we have 248 positive mitzvot, commandments, which correspond to the 248 limbs that I have in my body. And when I'm doing all these 248 positive mitzvot, I'm actually bringing light into my body. And when I'm missing mitzvot, then I'm lacking light in certain organs of my body, and it starts affecting me. Then comes all the negative, the precepts. These precepts are like fences, like guards around my soul and around my body. And when I'm doing a lot of holes in my security system, then it will be penetrated by many unwanted entities. So a lot of the emotions and the depression that people get comes from our actions. So when a person, you know, starts feeling depressed, then he goes to a therapist or a doctor, they numb it down right away. The problem is to go to its source and to see where that depression is coming from. So one of the things, like I said, on the physical level is our food. And many people don't agree with it. But if a person now will go to a doctor, and the doctor will tell him, listen, if you're not going to stop eating what you're eating, you're going to die, then that person will go on a diet, on a strict diet.
Like a diabetic, you know, stop eating sugar, otherwise you're going to die.
Yeah. So
it's exactly that.
So the first thing one must do is really look at their own diets. And only by starting to reduce, even not stopping, just reducing the problem, that already will help. And exactly like you said, white sugar, white flour, all the chemicals, just start reducing the problem. You'll see that right away your mind is thinking clearer. Now, maybe we'll do one show just about nutrition. I can actually bring my wife on the show. She's a professional. That's her profession.
Ah,
she heals people through nutrition.
Awesome. It would be absolutely awesome. Also one of my passions. From a medical point of view and just from my own experience.
Yeah.
And so that would be absolutely awesome to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Alon, we've got like 4 minutes.
So in the...
not even 4 minutes. So just a quick wrap up in terms of anything that the beloved listener can take away and do something right now?
Two things. Change your nutrition, change how you eat, and change your energy, how you look at the world. If your energy, if you're constantly concentrating on negative things, it will reflect right back at you and manifest into your body that it will come out as negative. If you're looking at positive things in the world, not how much money you don't have, is how much money you do have. You know, like the old cliche, don't look at the empty half of the cup, look at the full part of the cup. When I'm constantly concentrating on positive, then the positive will shine from me. If I'm concentrating on negative, then I will bring this negative on me. And more than that, as hard as it seems to accept it, what I feed my soul will manifest directly into my body. I have to feed my soul the same way that I have to feed my body. If I'm not going to eat for a couple hours, I might get a stomach ache. And if I don't eat for a day, I'll become sick. If I don't feed my soul what it needs, which is Torah and mitzvahs and refining it and so many other things, my soul will become sick. And that will manifest directly into my emotions, which will make me heavy and depressed and sad and not accepting the reality how it is, and much, much more. And we talked about it in one of the other interviews about how we have four elements in our body. And the element of earth is what brings us down because it's heavy. It's just turning it. Is overpowering that element. And that can only be done when I connect myself to my source, which is the ultimate good and happiness. And then I start deriving this energy back into my body that by default will make me much more happier and much less heavy and depressed.
Yes. I think it was Rabbi Lazar Brody from Breslov. He often uses the example of sucking on oxygen, not on the exhaust pipe.
Yeah.
And that's exactly it. You know, we have free choice to get our sustenance, our breathing in, our inspiration coming from a positive source or a not so positive source.
Yep.
So take in the oxygen. It's free.
Yep.
If you go to intensive care, it's not free. You pay thousands and thousands, but it's in South Africa, in order to get just a canister of oxygen. Yep. We have it free. All a gift from Hashem. Thank you so much, Alon. That was absolutely awesome. Absolutely
my pleasure.
Awesome.
Should have a beautiful week.
Thank you so much. Oh, and thank you, beloved listeners, for listening, for being with us, and to have the most beautiful Wednesday, the most beautiful rest of your week, and the most beautiful Shabbos. And with that, from Cabana Friedman.